Okay, this week's Sedra, Parshas Mishpatim. The connection to this week's Sedra is not so direct. It's, as we will speak, we'll bring a pasuk from this week's Sedra. But the main topic of discussion tonight is the idea that a person doesn't lose out from doing mitzvahs. Meaning, every now and then, we come in contact with the Yetzer Hara. How so? That we want to do a mitzvah comes our way, and very often the Yetzer Hara tries to interfere by telling us that it's not kedai, it's going to cost us, it's going to cost us financially, it's going to cost us physically, it's not healthy, a million different one excuses why not to do the mitzvah. And a person has to keep on saying over and over to himself this idea of mitzvahs lo mafsidim, that you don't lose out from doing a mitzvah. It makes sense logically, right? Hashem gave us the mitzvahs, wants us to keep the Torah, and how could it be that by doing his ratzon, he's going to, quote unquote, so to speak, punish us? Doesn't make sense. He wants us to follow his ways, and if he sees us putting in our effort, it doesn't make sense logically that anything bad should possibly happen when we're doing what he wants from us, of us. So it's connected to the parsha a little bit. We see a pasuk that says, "Zavadtam es Hashem Elokeichem," you should serve your God, "uveirachas lachmacha v'esmeimecha," and he'll bless your bread and your water. And then the pasuk concludes, "Vasirosi machala bikirbecha," and Hashem says, "And then I will take away sickness from you." There's a sefer called Yavin Shmua, once went through, and he gives a little shot in this pasuk based on the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says, "Kachi darka shel Torah." Right, this is the way of the Torah. Pasu melech tochal maim b'mesura tishte al haaretz etatishan. A person should eat bread, drink water, and sleep on the floor, etc. And at the same time, be osik in Torah, be amol in Torah. He says that the idea that a Talmud Chacham, the Iker by him, should be is the Torah, learning, and the physical thing should be secondary, shouldn't get involved in Gashmias, materialism. However, what? Again, like we said before, here's a great place for the Yetzer Hara to come. He says, "What? You're going to eat bread and drink water? How can you live like that? Come on, you have to have a balanced diet. You have to have different groups of, you know, food groups. What, you have to have your protein, you have to have your, you know, carbohydrate, etc. What kind of, what? Pasta, melach, tochal? You can't live like this. All ours, tashish, tisha. No, you have to have a good night's sleep, etc., etc." And the Yetzer Hara comes with a million different excuses, which sound pretty good. So therefore, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us over here. He says that if you serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu properly, then what does Hashem say? You're right, it's not a balanced diet, but you have nothing to worry about. You're not going to lose out by keeping the Torah. Why? Don't worry, I'll take away sickness from you. You do what you have to do, and I'll take care of you. Because you're doing what I want from you, want of you. Right? You find this on the other side, you see people all the time, when it comes to business, you know, they hear this quite often. He says, "Well, you have to cheat out in the business world. Why? Because you're not going to get anywhere unless you cheat." I hear this, right? People are going to walk all over you, and unless you lie, unless you cheat, unless you steal a little bit, and a little here, a little there, there's no way you have to, or else you're not going to make it. You can't make a living. So he said, that's like uppie courses, right? Because that's like saying, only if you don't listen to Hashem, then everything will work out. Well, that doesn't make sense, right? If anything, the other way makes sense, like we said. You listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do what he says, you don't lie, you speak the truth, you don't steal, and then Hashem's going to take care of you. How can it be? Well, like we said, how can it be? You're going to drink water and eat bread, and then everything's going to be okay. Hashem says, "Don't worry, you're doing my ratzon, I'm going to take away sickness." So to here, you're doing my ratzon, you don't steal, you don't cheat, you do your business honestly, it doesn't look how you're going to possibly make a living, don't worry, you're doing what I want from you, I'll take care of you. And stop good, a guy that doesn't listen, how can he expect not to listen to Kodesh Baruch Hu and be successful? Even though it might look like being successful, okay, what looks like success on the surface, very, very often is not success. He might have a lot of money, but that'll cost him a lot of health or Tzaras, or Mar Ben Nechasi, Mar Yadai. We have a million different things can happen from even if he does get the money, if he gets the money. So therefore, again, the person has to do the Ratzon Hashem, and then the Kodesh Baruch Hu will take care of him. It's a nice word from Shlomo Levinstein. Right? He says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, says over there that there were 10 miracles in the, that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. And one of the miracles was that a woman that was pregnant that would smell the aroma of the burning meat and on the Mizbeach, which is, you know, like a nice aroma of, you know, freshly, you know, charcoal broiled steaks, you know, it's a very nice smell. And as we know, a woman, that if she's pregnant and she smells something, she doesn't get it, she gets, it's dangerous for her, for the child, right? She can, chas v'shalom, she can abort. So it says, the Mishnah says that never did a pregnant woman ever abort from smelling the aroma of the Kodesh, of the Korbanos. And that was a miracle. So he asks, why did Hashem do the miracle that these women would smell, these pregnant women would smell the Kodesh and not abort? Why didn't the miracle should have been simpler? Why didn't Hashem make the miracle they wouldn't smell it to begin with? Make it that their nose got blocked, or that the wind blew away the aroma. Why was it that they smelt it and didn't abort? It should have been that they didn't smell it to begin with. So he says that because the Kodesh Baruch wanted to teach us this lesson, that you don't lose out from Kodesh. Right? You're smelling the Kodesh and inhaling it, dangerous, it's Kodesh, you don't have to worry. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I take care of you. When it comes to Kedusha, you do the Ratzon Hashem, you don't have anything to worry about. That's the lesson from there as well. And we see that, this was I think it was the Darkei Musa, I'm not sure, I think I saw it from him. He says that from the Gemara, it says that Psalacha, that says Moshe Rabbeinu, he became rich from the Psolus of the Luchos. Right, that when the second luchos, which he carved out, so the rock was very, very expensive material, and he was able to sell just the shavings of the luchos, you know, pay a lot of money for the, you know, remnants of the luchos, and he became very rich from the solas, from the remnants of the luchos, right. So one lesson they say, the Bali Musar, is that we see from here again that you don't lose out from the Torah. Right, this luchos represent the Torah, and here, right, you don't lose out from the keeping the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu kept the Torah. He gave the Torah, and he didn't lose out from it. Why? He very often it out from a psolus. Because you have to remember though that the Gashmi is only psolus though, right? He didn't lose out from the Torah. He made a lot of money anyways, but just remember that it was from the psolus that he made his money. Now, that's not the ikker. The ikker is the Torah itself. There's interesting also this week's Sedra, a mitzvah where we see from here that a person very often he doesn't realize the benefits. Okay, sometimes you see it. You put your efforts in the Torah and you see, hey, look, wow, Kodesh Baruch Hu is really taking care of me. But sometimes it's in a hidden way, you don't even realize it. Where is that? There's a beautiful Rashi this week's Sedra that talks about the topic in the Torah, the mitzvah of returning a security. It says that if you take a security, you lent money to a person, it was a poor person, and didn't have money to pay you back, so you're allowed to take a security right from him, right, till he pays back the money. However, the Torah says that you can't just take the security and hold it and that's it until he pays. What you have to do is, every night, let's say you took his pillow or his pajamas, so every night you got to go to his house and return his pajamas to him or his pillow, whatever it is, so he can sleep with it. And then in the morning you go and you pick it up and take it back. And then again, when next night comes again, if he hasn't paid you back yet, you have to go. You have to give him the pillow again every night. And the Naim Latorah asks. He says, "What kind of a deal is this? What's going on over here?" Okay, we know that who lent who money, okay? There's in fact a saying, Eved Lova Leish Malve, that a borrower is like an Eved to the Malve. I mean, he borrowed money, he owes the money, he's like a slave. So what's the idea that the Torah is Matriach, bother is the lender, he has to schlep to this guy every night and give him back his thing and then take it back again in the morning. And this can go on and on until the guy pays. Right? Besides the fact, is that many of the unfortunate man? What kind of a security is that? The whole idea of l'chora, one would think, hey, I'm taking the security, and so he'll pay me back. So if I'm every night going to turn his pajamas and his pillows, oh, what does he care? You can do, keep on going like this for like 10 years. Every night he gets his pajamas, his pillows, and he's, well, what does he care? So what kind of a deal is this, right? What are we accomplishing over here? So again, go back to our topic for a second. It looks like the guy's losing out, right? He lent this guy money, and he's losing out because every night he has to give back his security, which he was taking from the guy. And what's going on? It's not fair. It's not fair. So it's not fair until you read Rashi, right? And what does it say? It says Chavol Tachbol. And the double lashon is a filu me'at pamim. Rashi says you have to go back and forth, every single night, 100 times over again, back and forth, return, 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 every night. So Rashi says the following lashon. Rashi says, "Kama atah chayav li kol yom." Shem is saying you're bothered by this. You're saying this is not fair. Shem says, "I'll tell you what's not fair." He says, "How much are you chayav to me?" Hashem says, "Right, every day. Unfortunately, we do averas here and there during the day." And our neshama goes up to Shemayim. And we're chayav, right? We're chayav. We did this wrong, we did that wrong. All these chiyuvim, all these debts that we owe Hashem. What does Hashem do? He takes our neshama, he says, this you did wrong, that you did wrong. Hashem says, what could I do? I could say, forget it. I'm not giving your neshama back. Well, you want your neshama, so come and get it. Come up, come to Shemayim, you know, die. And then I didn't come up, right? And then I'll give you back your neshama, right? So, but what does Hashem do? Does he do that? No. Every night, you know, hopefully, we thank Hashem every morning for this. Every night, you know, takes our neshama, when it comes to all these chiyuvim, we're chayiv, this chayiv, that, but what does he do in the morning? He says, okay, here, gives back our neshama. Next night, whoop, our neshama comes up again, all these chiyuvim, we didn't pay back, we didn't do tshuva or whatever, hopefully we did, but not always. And then Hashem says, okay, here you go, gives our back neshama. And again, every day, our neshama back in the morning, again in the morning, again in the morning. Exactly what we're doing with the Ani, right? Well, kind of, it's not fair. Hey, he didn't pay me back yet. I'm giving back his pajamas? Yes, every night, give back the pajamas every night, right? It's not fair. He didn't pay me back. Hashem says, very nice. You didn't pay me back, and I give you your neshama back every morning. That's fair? It's also not fair. Ah, so what does it come out? It comes out that by us giving back this Ani, his security like every night, it's for our own good, right? Because in this way, we can say to Hashem, look, I give back this Ani, his thing every day, even though he's not going to pay me back my loan because of it, and I have to schlep and do this every day, and I'm doing it. So then Hashem says, oh, very good, you're doing it, so I'll do it, I'll give it back your neshama. So it could be, by us giving back every day to this Ani, we're encouraging Hashem to do the same and giving back our neshama. So really, what we think we're losing out by schlepping and bringing and then, where's my loan, now I'm getting it back, and I have to schlep every day, we're saving our own lives, right? Hashem could say otherwise, well, you're not giving back his things, I'm not giving back your neshama. So again, here's a classic example where we don't even see it, but we're saving our own lives by returning this thing, whereas at the surface it looks like, hey, it's a schlep, it's not fair, what's going on? We don't realize that, again, we're doing what the Torah says, and you're not going to lose out. Sometimes you see how you're not losing out, sometimes you don't see, but you can be confident that you're not losing out. And it's an important thing to keep in mind, because every now and then it comes up in all our lives, right? We think, should I do this? Should I stay? And you know, you want to stay for davening, and you say, oh no, but then I don't know, I might get delayed, I might miss my bus, and it happens. And then you have to say, wait a second, I'm going to stay for davening, I'm going to stay till the end, whatever. And Hashem's going to make me miss my bus. And Hashem, he's going to punish me for staying to the end of davening, etc. Or I'm going to be tired. I'm not going to think, well, Hashem's going to punish me, and he's going to make me tired today, and not in the koach because I stayed extra and learned, or stayed for davening, whatever the case might be. Now think about this. It doesn't make sense, right? If we're doing the ratzon Hashem, and the hefech, all the more, so for moser nefesh, we can be confident the Kadosh Baruch Hu will help us, will protect us. Again, don't always see it. Somebody say, well, I did miss my bus. Okay, maybe it wasn't meant. You should make the bus. But at other times, you'll see the opposite. You'll see that it happened to me once. One thing reminds me that I was supposed to meet somebody, and it was getting off the bus somewhere or whatever, and it was one of my kids. So I heard when the bus is supposed to get to a certain point, and I said, oh, you know, I was thinking, should I leave early from davening? I shouldn't leave early from davening. And I gave in to the, so to speak, gates or whatever. And I said, I don't, I might not make it. I better leave early. So I ran out, you know, before the end of davening. And then when I drove there, then I make sure that, in the end, what happened? The bus was delayed, and I was standing and sitting there for an hour. Okay? In other words, I could have stayed for davening and learned after, whatever, and made the bus also. Okay? A small little example. That was it. It happens all the time that we have this. We keep forgetting that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in control, and if we're doing what He wants and we're going out of our way to do what He wants, you're not going to lose out. You can't lose out. You're not going to lose out from doing mitzvahs. I'd like to end with a story I just saw this week, and from the Mishpacha magazine from Yeruchim Landsman, and it also clearly brings out this inyan. The story is of the Yeshuas Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Meshulam Orenstein. He's the Rav in Lemberg. And I'm not going to go all the nitty-gritties of the story, but this, I'll tell it to you, the Kitzer. So when his house was known for Hachnasas Orchim. You can go, anybody can go anytime to his house, doors always open, tables are set, people, tens of people there, and eating during any time of the day. You can walk in, people, all sorts and sizes of people sitting there at the tables, and his family, his kids serving them. It's like an open house, 24 hours a day, right? And people in and out. Like the ultimate Nachnasas Orchim. Anyways, the story goes that one day one of his kids came to their father, Shus Yaakov, and they said, Abba, we got a problem on our hands. What's the problem? He says, well, you know, most of our guests, okay, they come, there are people passing through the town or whatever, no place to eat, then they come and they eat by us, they stay by us a night or two, whatever, and you know, great. Except there's this one guy, and he's been hanging around their house for like 2 weeks already, which is, you know, he's, okay, it can happen, whatever, but the guy's such a despicable character. He not only does he take it, he's taking advantage of us staying here for so long, but he's talking bad mouthing about the Torah and the Rabbanim, and we can't stand him. He has to leave. So we want your permission to kick him out. So the kid thought, you know, the father would say, oh, of course, you know, we shouldn't be here, whatever. But no, what did he say? He says, listen. He says, you know, a Yid by nature is, likes to help people, likes to do, Achnasas Orchim, etc. And Baruch Hashem, we're doing that here. But since it's natural, it's not all that hard. Every now and then, Hashem throws us a Nisayan. Here's a guy that it's not easy to do Achnasas Orchim with. We feel we're being taken advantage of. He's bad-mouthing this, bad-mouthing that. And it's hard to do Achnasas Orchim with him. So Dafka, this is the guy that we gotta mechazik ourselves, we gotta continue, you know, helping this guy, even if it's hard. Because that Dafka, when it's hard, that's the fum saragra, as they say, the reward comes according to the effort. So the kid heard, and he said, fine, I'll let the guy alone. And that's when he stayed there, he kept staying there, and eating there, and staying, whatever. Just went on for a while. We move on to part B of the story. There's a very chashava, one of the most chashava people in the community in Lemberg. His name is Ramir David Meichler. And he was a real hotshot businessman. He was a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. And he dealt with businessmen and made deals all over the globe. Anyways, every now and then he had, you know, set up these business meetings. People come and offer certain, deals with them and to close with them. So one such day came, and he had his set these appointments, and one point was with this goy. So this goy comes and comes into him and says, listen, I have a wonderful deal. It's going to make a lot of money for us very fast, and all I need is your signature. And so he's a little bit skeptical of Mira David, quick money, that, you know. So he was a sharp head and a very crude businessman. So he asked for all the details. And he heard this, that, he had all kinds of problems. Hey, what about this? What about that? Anyways, but he had an answer. So he decided to go for it. He said, okay, fine, I see that you've researched everything really well. Looks good, and I'm willing. So he said, great, sign here. So he signs here, and that was that. A few weeks later, what happens? All of a sudden, the house gets surrounded by policemen. And they come into his house, and they said, okay, Ramir David, you're under arrest. He says, well, what's going on? What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. He says, you sure you did? He says, what? He says, well, there's been guy, this guy that's been, we've been trying to find, track him down for years already. He's been evading taxes and smuggling merchandise, and but we couldn't, we knew about him, but we couldn't track him down and find, you know, to arrest him. Finally, this week, we were able to arrest the guy, and after going through his papers and all his business transactions, we noticed that you signed on one of the transactions. And that was this guy that we were talking about before. Anyways, he said, so he tried to listen. He said, come on, you know I'm an honest guy. I've always been doing my, you know, paid my taxes and my that. You can't do this to me. So he says, no, nothing doing. Well, you'll have to tell that to the judge. In the meantime, you're coming with us. We're putting you into jail until... But he was a wealthy man, so he was able to arrange bail, and he got out on bail till the date of his the court date. So in the meantime, he went to his Rebbe. The issue was Yaakov, and he says, Rebbe, what should I do? I'm having a big problem over here, and So the Rebbe said, do you know who the judge is? So he says, yeah, it's this guy. So he says, why don't you try good old Shochad? You know, try to pay him off. You know, the judge, I'm sure if you offer him enough money, he'll, he'll give in. So he says, okay, and he offered him like a tremendous sum of money, like 20,000 rubles or whatever it was. And sure enough, the judge accepted it, and that was the end, and he cleared himself. Meanwhile, what happens? A few days later, there's a knock on the door of the study, the Rav study, Rav Shus Yaakov's study. Who walks in? The guy that was staying by them for a few weeks now, right, and eating by them, staying by them, right, the guy that they were considering kicking out. So he comes to the Rav, and he says, Rav, I'd like to know, I've been hanging around here a while, as if the Rav didn't know, and he says, and I've been keeping my ears open, and I heard, and I'm witness to the fact that you told this person, Meir David, to give shochad to the to bribe the judge in this case, and he listened to you and he bribed, and because of that you got he got off. So the Rav is saying, yeah. So he says, well, listen, if this goyish judge deserves 20,000 rubles, I think I deserve 20,000 rubles also. So I'm asking you to give me 20,000 rubles, and if not, I'm going to go to the authorities, to the chief magistrate, and I'm going to snitch on you. I'm going to tell exactly what you did, how you advised the Rav Meir David, and I'm going to tell that the judge accepted it, and you're all going to be in big trouble, and I'm going to get a lot of covet and money from it, etc. And what do you say? So of course, besides being shocked, he said to him, well, give me another day or two. I have to think about it, what to do. So he says, okay, but I'm warning you. Yeah, so that was it. So you can imagine what he's saying. Can you believe this guy? Of all these, they've been most nefesh for this guy. They're going to kick him out. But Yudavka said, no, we have to, it's hard for us. That's why we have to have Nasa's Orchid with this guy, as hard as it is, etc. And here this guy turns on them. Speaking of being ungrateful, he wants it to he has to get 20,000 rubles. He's going to turn them in. Anyways, 2 days later, the guy comes back. He says, okay, Rav, can I have the money, please, 20,000 rubles? So the Rav says, nope, I've decided I'm not going to give you a cent. So he says, what? Well, why not? So he says, listen, he said, I was thinking about it, what should I do? Give you the money, not give me, but then I thought, wait a second, right? A person doesn't lose out from doing a mitzvah. Right? You don't lose out from doing a mitzvah. We were moser nefesh for you in mitzvah achnachas orchim. We're going to kick you out, but we stay and we're moser nefesh for you. What? I figured that Kosh Baruch Hu is going to, cause a takala, something bad is going to go because of this mitzvah. And after all, it's only because we kept you that you found out about this whole thing. And what? So we're going to lose out because of our mitzvah? Can't be. Hashem does not, a person doesn't lose out from doing mitzvahs. So do what you want to do. I'm confident that Hashem will take care. So he says, oh yeah, okay, that's where you want to do it, fine. So he leaves the office, goes straight to the chief magistrate, which was known to be a guy that, he just loves these things, shochad, you know, bribery, and he's chalishing for these things. So he thought, you know, this is going to be great. You know, he goes into the chief magistrate. He says, I have to speak to the head judge, whatever. So he goes into him, and he says, boy, do I have some juicy information for you. He goes, no, yeah, what is it? So he tells him the story. Well, the rav of the town, you know, he told this Mir David to give shochad, and he gave the shochad to this judge, and then he cleared him. Ah, hey, what do you say? So he thought he was going to get a big kiss, you know. Instead, the chief magistrate, he looks at him, and he has a very serious face, and he starts shaking his head. This guy's like, what's going on? So he says, I can't believe you. He says, I really can't believe you. He says, what's wrong? He says, you're Jewish, no? He says, yeah. He says, how could you do this? How could you be so lowly and despicable to turn in your fellow Jew? He says, even if it's true. He says, let's say it is true. But how could you be your fellow Jew, and here you are coming and telling behind his back and turning him into the authority? I can't believe you could do this thing to your fellow Jew. And he says, you're such a lowly individual. I can't stand you. You're disgusting. And the guy couldn't believe it. And this is not the reaction he was expecting, especially from this guy who loves, you know, these cases of bribery. But he just says, I don't want to look at you anymore. He called in his men. He says, take this guy and throw him in jail. Such a person, I can't even look at the guy. So they take him and they lock him up. Anyways, the word gets back to the Rav, and he heard, and he says, ah, you see, I knew it, right? I knew it. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish a person. You don't lose out from doing mitzvahs. And exactly what happened. And the story ends that he called in this sort of Mir David. He says, Mir David, listen, I have a mitzvah for you. We have now a mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuin. Right? There's a yid in jail, and I want you to do your utmost to try to get this guy out, because he's a yid in jail, and, you know, mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuin, we gotta do the mitzvah. That's how the story ends. So the lesson is clear. I think that, like we said, something that Lamaisa, we have to go over and over and retell ourselves that mitzvahs lo mafsidim. We don't lose out from doing mitzvahs. Sometimes it appears that way, sometimes it doesn't appear, but we have to be confident whether we see the results or not. Always, it's Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to arrange things. We're doing what he wants. It doesn't make sense that he's not going to return us and give us great things in return. It's Hashem. We should hope for these great returns from the Almighty, and the ultimate return of the Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhira Bimein.